Stephen Miller is a name you might not recognize, but he's one of President Trump's closest and longest-lasting advisors. As figures like Stephen Bannon and so many others have fallen by the wayside in the Trump administration, Miller has remained steadfast, writing the president's speeches and shaping some of his most protested policies. And our next guest argues you can't understand the Trump era and the kind of polarization and violence we're seeing in this country right now without tracing Miller's road to the White House. Gene Guerrero is an investigative journalist based in San Diego whose new book does just that. It's called Hate Monger, and as you told our co-host Lauren Gilger, it explores how someone is indoctrinated in radicalist ideology and ends up the most powerful advisor in the White House.
Stephen Miller is essentially a case study in radicalization. When he was a teenager, he crossed paths with this former Marxist named David Horowitz, who introduced him to this fantasy that the United States faced certain destruction in the form of the Democratic Party partnering with Muslims and other people who always happen to be people of color. And, you know, David Horowitz indoctrinated him in this idea that he needed to save the country from this so-called apocalyptic threat.
And he's taken that from a very young age and risen to power in this way. Would this have happened without Donald Trump? Because he wasn't all that experienced. He's pretty young as well, too, right before he made it to this campaign.
Exactly. I mean, Stephen Miller is essentially a public relations flack who, at the age of 31, was put in charge of making policies for this country without any prior policy experience. And no, this would absolutely not have happened without Donald Trump and without other people who he met along the way, such as David Horowitz, who, you know, as I mentioned, indoctrinated him at a young age and also just continued to shape his career, you know, got him his first jobs in Congress. And according to private correspondence that I obtained for the book, was feeding these explosive talking points to Trump through Stephen Miller that Trump would regurgitate, you know, comparing inner cities to war zones, using phrases that are known to fuel extremism, such as, you know, radical Islam. It all boils down to this strategy paper that David Horowitz sent to Stephen Miller in 2012 that talked about the Republican Party's need to remake itself around demonization, around inciting fear instead of hope. And this is something that Stephen Miller ran with. And when he, you know, when he heard Donald Trump in 2015 announcing his candidacy comparing Mexicans to rapists and criminals, he realized that he had a vehicle for his extremist ideology. And Stephen Miller was able to bring his work ethic, his discipline, his obsession with the immigration issue and with white nationalist propaganda, which he has been reading for a very long time. He was able to bring that to the table to really do a lot of systemic harm to communities of color that Trump might not have been able to do otherwise.
So let's talk about some of the results of this. We've seen some of Trump's most protested, most famous policies come out of Stephen Miller saying we're talking about things like the Muslim ban, like dividing families at the border, ending DACA.
Exactly. I mean, Trump, he's repeatedly shown a willingness to go in a more moderate direction on immigration. He was willing to keep DACA, this protection for dreamers, because he knew that, you know, that there was a lot of support on both sides of the political spectrum for this program. But Stephen Miller has consistently pushed him in the most aggressive direction. And Trump has grown to trust these instincts that Stephen Miller has because he's found that they really rally the base, his most hardcore base, around him. But the policies, you know, they range everything from the Muslim ban that we saw in early 2017. Stephen Miller, he wrote that executive order. He also wrote executive orders that laid the framework for family separations, the systematic separation of migrant children from their parents that you know I covered from the busiest border crossing in the country. And there was this idea that, you know, that the White House kept pushing that this was about law and order, that they were only going after criminals. But when you look at Stephen Miller and his motives, I mean, they were systematically separating families that presented legally at ports of entry with no criminal records. And it turns out that this is this is about something far darker than law and order. For Stephen Miller, this is about re-engineering the ethnic flows of people into this country to keep brown and black people out. And that is why his policies disproportionately impact families who've broken no laws. So, for example, slashing refugee admissions to new historic lows every year, or slowly dismantling the asylum system at the U.S.-Mexico border so that pretty much anyone who asks for asylum now is turned away. And what I try to do in the book is connect the dots between all of these things that Stephen Miller is pushing and the white nationalist sources. You know, he's deriving his policies from think tanks that were created by eugenicists, by people who believe in the genetic superiority of whites and who believe in population control for non-white people.
And at the same time, so those are a lot of the policies that have come as a result of Miller, but there are lots of like indirect, I guess, things that have come of this as well. You link this to what happened in Charlottesville, to what happened in El Paso, to what happened in Pittsburgh, the kind of divisiveness and violence that we're seeing in this country today.
Exactly. You know, Stephen Miller, he purposely includes demonizing rhetoric in Donald Trump's speeches. So, you know, talking about migrants crushing a woman's skull and eye sockets with a hammer, talking about migrants slaughtering, butchering little girls, you know, really horrific language that is supposed to incite hatred and this idea that immigrants are coming here to kill and rape and pillage, which, you know, statistics show that they're far less likely to commit crimes than actual citizens. But, you know, this incites extremism on both sides of the political spectrum, as we're seeing, you know, now in Kenosha and in Portland. But right-wing extremism is absolutely the number one threat facing this country right now. I mean, more than 90% of extremist-related killings are done by right-wing and white supremacist extremists.
So before I let you go, Jean, I just want to talk for a few minutes about sort of your goal and your perspective in writing this. Like, you're one of the only Latina journalists that's done something like this, that's written a book about the Trump administration. Why do you think that perspective matters in this?
Well, first of all, you know, most of these Trump books are written by people in D.C., people who are not on the ground, you know, witnessing the actual consequences of these policies. And I'd been reporting from day one of the Trump administration on the real human impact from the border crossing of these policies. But the other thing is, you know, journalists for a very long time have shied away from using terms like racist or xenophobic to describe people in this administration. And, you know, for the most part, that's a good thing. I mean, we need neutrality in journalism. That's what makes journalism an integral pillar of our democracy. But this reluctance that we have to call hate mongering and racism what it is, when we have, you know, emails, when we have strategy papers showing that this is a deliberate tactic that these officials are using, then I think we have a responsibility as journalists to call it what it is, to call the white nationalist agenda by its name.
All right. That is Jean Guerrero, an investigative journalist and the author of the new book, Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. Jean, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk to us about this.
Thank you, Lauren.